You know, I sent out a little message this morning, the last couple of days, with a little image of this, and asked folk to put it as their DPs of status. Thank you to all of you that did that. It was great to see this orange with a red heart all over on my phone. So for those that did it, well done. It's a great way for us to just let people know we're celebrating Easter, and also that we're celebrating our resurrected Christ. Isn't that good? And what was interesting is somebody, one of Naomi's friends from a few years ago, sent her back the image, wishing her a happy Easter. And so I don't know how she got it. We definitely didn't send it to her, but she picked it up and sent it back to us, not knowing that it had originated with us. So this is a good way, isn't it, to pass some good news around. So it's never too late if you are into statuses on your WhatsApp and whatever else to consider doing that, only if you'd like to. All right, you don't have to do it, but only if you'd like to. It's a good thing to do. Well, we're going to have a good time today as we look into God's Word. A pastor's wife was preparing pancakes for her young sons, and the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. So she said, if Jesus was sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. The oldest boy turned to his mother, his younger brother, and his mother, and said, you be Jesus. All right, for those of you that are still waking up, that was a good joke. In the context of that verse, there is a question that is put to the believers. Jesus said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Remember, he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. In John chapter 11, it says, Jesus said to the woman who were looking for him at the tomb, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The death, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to the authenticity of our faith. Without his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection, our faith would be simply a philosophy. It would simply be a religion out of some other box. It would simply be some experience of a good man who taught us good things and showed us and taught us how to live a good life. And somewhere in between, he did some miracles and did some razzmatazz. Now, the world is full of people who can teach you to do good things, who can show you what good things are. And they come from every walk of life, dressed, some with a lot of bling, some very simply dressed, some men, some women, all sorts of people that present us with a lot of things to believe in. But what is the truth? What makes our faith strong? What makes our faith real? What makes the story of Easter authentic? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The question he asks us today is, do you believe this? I want to ask you a question this morning. What do you believe? I'd like you to feel a little bit insecure this morning, because I'd like you to really reassess your walk of faith this Easter Sunday and say, what do I believe? I've discovered that what I believe is not simply what I confess. What I believe is expressed in how I live my life. So the challenge for us as believers, and for too long the church has taught us simply to confess ourselves out of sin. He's taught us to confess ourselves out of anything and everything, but has not focused on our confession and declaration that must be backed up by an authenticity of our faith in taking what we believe and allowing it to permeate our lives and become an expression of everything we do. Your faith is not just what you say, it is what you do. So if you were to assess yourself and say, what do I believe?
Don't go back to the Bible and say, oh, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. I want you to do an honest assessment of your life. What is it that I am doing? Because what I am doing is a consequence of what I believe. I believe that I need to be slimmer. I believe that I need to lose 12 kgs. I have an app on my phone. At some point in my life, I was a member of a club that also had a restaurant. And which one do you think I frequented more?
The restaurant.
The restaurant. And so I devised a way to make my belief authentic. And I developed a hand-to-mouth routine, which worked very well in the local restaurant at the club. Hand-to-mouth. It was easy. I never ever lost weight, and I never ever got as fit as I wanted to. Even though I believed, and I see myself, when I look at these pictures of these six-pack abs and the biceps, I think, oh Lord, I'd love to have that one day. But just me confessing it, abs, come forth in Jesus' name. Biceps grow, 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 speak to your biceps. Just doesn't happen. I believe, I confess, but I don't do much to alter. And sometimes we live in cuckoo land as believers and thinking, because one day I confessed and I believed, and because someday I declared, now I can live my life freely. God wants to remind us this Sunday, what do you believe? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about His resurrection? These are the things that define and seal our faith. Central to our faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there was no empty tomb, our faith would be empty and void of its power. The empty tomb is a reminder that Jesus Christ is no longer dead, but He is alive. There is historical evidence. There are witnesses, over 500 people who saw the resurrected Christ after He was crucified and buried. He rose from the dead just like He said He would, 3 days later. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is also important because it validates what Jesus said about Himself. He says His resurrection was the sign from heaven. And this is what authenticated who Jesus was. He was not just a good man. He was not just a nice man. He was not just a prophet or a rabbi or a teacher. But He was the Son of God sent on this earth to die for our sin, to rise again, and to bring us the certainty and the hope of eternal life through the finished work of the cross. When Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Death did not consume Jesus on the cross. The Bible says He gave up His spirit. The God of life managed His giving up of His life. Amen. He did not die as a consequence of the injury or the bleeding. He died because He said, it is now time for me to give up my life. What did Jesus mean when He said these words, it is finished? The statement that He made 2,000 years ago, one of the seven statements that Jesus made on the cross, is a very vital one. In Greek, He would have cried out, tetelestai, which means it is paid in full. He was declaring the debt owed to His Father. What debt was owed to the Father? The debt of sin. The debt of all of the sin of the world was owed to the Father. And Jesus paid the price for our sin when He died on the cross. He wiped away the debt that was owed to the Father. He eliminated the debt owed by mankind, the debt of sin. Which is why now, as a resurrected Jesus Christ, we can come to Him, and in exchange for our sin and our unworthiness, we can receive His gracious gift of life. We can receive the forgiveness of sin, and we can live our lives in the freedom that Jesus calls us to. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 says, Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds we are healed. So what did Jesus achieve through his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection? The victory was not just over sin and death, but over sickness, over insufficiency and lack, shame and abandonment, loneliness and rejection, poverty and illness. Jesus dealt with every consequence of sin on the cross. Do you believe this? But thanks be to God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. If God promises us victory over sin and death, it is yes, the nature of sin, but also our ability to live free from being tempted and giving in. We can't live free from the temptation of sin, sorry, but from giving in to the temptation of sin. That is what Jesus sets us free from. He sets us free from the sting of death. Death has no hold on you. Though you may die whenever that is, and thank God that you are alive right now, but it was not your time. Death has no hold over you, because when it is your time, Jesus has ordained the hour, the minute, the second that each of us will be heaven bound. And when you die, because you have believed and you have confessed and you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whenever it is any of us will die, we will be transported into eternity. Amen. We will transition from this earthly life into the supernatural glory and presence of Jesus Christ and the Father. Amen. It's because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You try assuring yourself that you can make it into heaven by what you do. Nothing will satisfy God other than the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. He took away the stigmas of life, the disgrace associated with circumstances, the quality or the personhood of our life. Jesus took away those stigmas and he gave us his glory. He gave us his goodness. He made us look good when all the world says you should look bad. He says, no, because you believe in me, even though you might be struggling and fighting through and trying to make it, you look good to me. Isn't that good? The Bible says he covers us with his glory. He covers us with his robes of righteousness. His resurrection frees us from sickness. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up the wounds. He, for some reason, we are never promised a life free from sickness. We are never promised a life free from hearts being broken and emotional trauma and experiences. But the promise is there that whenever we do go through them, that Jesus will heal the brokenhearted and he will bind up the wounds of the people that are suffering. Jesus also, because of his death on the cross, his crucifixion, his resurrection, the Bible says he is the great high priest. Each one of us, I have a role as a leader. Nehemiah and I have a role as a leader here to lead the ministry, the work that God has entrusted us with. But we are not mini popes. We are not mini gurus or pundits. We have responsibility, but that doesn't make us better than somebody else. Each one of us, because Jesus is the great high priest, each one of us, the Bible says, are priests unto God. And yes, we have the responsibility to lead, to pastor, to teach, to care. But each one of us is a priest unto God. Do you understand that? And it has no issue to do with gender. Male or female, you are a priest unto God. You serve God and you serve people. You pray to God and you pray for people. It's our service as priests. But Jesus is the great high priest. He anoints your head with oil. oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. It also talks about the oil of gladness and the oil of healing, emotional healing, physical healing, whatever healing we desire. When Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with sin and the consequences of sin once and for all. And so this morning, as we come to the communion table, which is something that Jesus asks us to do in remembrance of him, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Until he comes back again, Jesus said, break bread, drink of this cup, and do it in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? We are remembering what Jesus did for us. We are remembering his death, his crucifixion, but we are also remembering his resurrection, the power of the resurrection. Our faith is authentic because Jesus is alive. Our faith is real because we believe and we follow and we pray to a living God. You know, it's wonderful going to the Garden Tomb, and we've had the privilege of going there. But for goodness sakes, it's a rock with a hole in it. And at some point, Jesus was buried there. And it has historical attachments. But it's not a place that we go and worship. Now, I know a lot of believers have said, oh, when I walk into the Garden Tomb, I can feel the presence of God. And God bless you if you feel the presence of God. But according to Scripture, God dwells within. He ain't in the tomb. He's dwelling in you. From being put in stone for 3 days, he is now in the living stones. You and me. And this morning I want to remind us, as we begin and step into this new week and this new season, Jesus Christ has chosen to dwell within each of you. Amen. You carry his presence. You carry his glory. You carry his anointing. You carry all of the divine nature of God in you. Wherever you are, no matter how good or bad you've been this week and will be in the weeks to come, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus chooses to dwell within you. It is by his grace and his mercy that I can say, Jesus, the living God, dwells within me. He chose to do it. I simply need to receive and acknowledge that he is. And then let my belief be fleshed out in how I live my life, in my priorities, in what I do, in how I spend my money, in how I spend my time, in my thought life, in my attitude towards people. Let my attitude, my thought life, my actions all be focused in giving glory back to God. Amen. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Turn around to your neighbor and says, do you realize Jesus dwells within you? It's amazing. In Ephesians it says, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells within. Powerful. And then we walk around like, I'll tell you, sometimes I'm like that as well, all right? And I got to, come on, Ian, wake up. Stop moping. I know not everything's going right, but stop moping. We walk around with our little mop and we mope around life, mopping up our tears wherever we go. Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay, there's a time for tears, but there's also a time to wake up. And God, I'm going through hell, but you dwell within me. I don't understand what's happening around me. It seems sometimes like all of life is pressing in on me and getting the better of me. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon that is fashioned for us will prosper. It doesn't mean to say that there will be no weapons that will come to you. So when they do come, don't say, oh God, why am I being attacked? It's because they have been fashioned for you. But no weapon that is fashioned for you will prosper. Amen. The certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that Jesus, the Almighty God, the creator of this universe, divinely chooses to live within you and me. Not because of what we have done, not because of our goodness, not because we have worked up a spiritual sweat and said, now look at my spiritual workout, God. Look how spiritual I am. I mean, look at my biceps and my abs and my chest. Look at how good I am. No. No matter how good you're looking, you're never good enough for God. It's because of what Jesus has done for me. Amen. That makes me good enough for God. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, I thank you this morning, this Resurrection Sunday. We remember that you are a God who is alive. The tomb is empty. And you choose to live within us, in our hearts and in our lives. And Jesus, this morning, as we come to the communion table, as we partake of communion, Lord, I pray that you would touch each one of our lives, that you would speak to each one of us, that you would draw us in closer to you. And this Easter, as we celebrate your goodness and all that you did for us on the cross at Calvary, we remember the most important thing of all, that you are alive and living within me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like us all just to keep our heads bowed.